Hey, batter, batter. Are you ready to hit a home run with flavor? Step up to the plate and swing by Penn Station East Coast Subs, where every bite is a grand slam. Craving a classic Philly cheesesteak or maybe a savory chicken teriyaki? Or how about loading up on their delicious fresh-cut fries? Call it a triple play by ordering Penn Station's signature fresh-squeezed lemonade. When it comes to subs, Penn Station is the big league. Order online at penn-station.com or stop at a store near you. Penn Station East Coast Subs.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Double Agents Wrap Up Podcast for episode 6. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me this week is RHAP Class of 2020 member Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
Doing great, Brian. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me on. It's been a, I wouldn't say lifelong dream, but a years long dream.
That's great. It's great to have you. It's nice to have another quick name that I could say as quickly as possible. Not as, you know, not as doesn't flow as well as that last year, but Jason Reed, that flows well. So you fit right in.
Hey, that's what I'm known for, the number of syllables in my name.
Yeah. So we wanted to have you on for a while going into the season. There was a couple opportunities where we thought we were going to have you. But like the challenge, there's always, you know, you can never know what's going to expect the unexpected. So we're happy to have you here. So for everyone at home, what's kind of your kind of background with the challenge? Why did you want to be a part of this podcast? What made you want to kind of jump in?
So I've been listening to you guys ever since you guys started up. I don't even remember which season it was, but, you know, I was deep into the RHAP community at that point. And then I saw you guys were starting a challenge podcast, and I've been watching a challenge for years beforehand, kind of on and off before that. But, you know, once you guys started up and I started listening, I was, you know, more dedicated to the challenge than I had been before. So it's been a blast listening to you guys for the past few years.
That's great. So, and so far this season, so through 6 episodes now, what are your thoughts kind of big picture as we're kind of, I guess, probably through the first about third of this season? What's kind of your thoughts here?
I'm really enjoying it. I'm kind of bummed that we've gotten so many quits and injuries so far. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think it's a really enjoyable season. It's a season of a lot of twists and turns. And, you know, still after this episode, I'm not really sure where everyone, you know, lies alliance wise.
Yeah, it's interesting. The level of quits and injuries and stuff, I feel like there was a lot of creative ways the challenge producers probably could have gone with some twists and stuff. But they every time they're kind of caught up, once again, the rug gets pulled out from under them. It kind of takes away the flexibility that I'm sure they would probably wanted to have, maybe with some double eliminations or, you know, mixing up guys, girls day. It's so unfortunate that almost every episode now we've had someone go home for reasons other than eliminations. It's kind of crazy. I think this is the most they've really ever had in such a long time. It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, we're almost averaging one person an episode, which is crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, this week, obviously, we kind of almost start off with it, but I guess we can just leave with that is, unfortunately, Leo opens up about kind of his backstory growing up in a group home and like the kind of the trauma and experiences he had with that. And coming into the year, unfortunately, it was very triggering for him. And he just, you know, I guess he tried to battle through the first few weeks. And here he said, you know what, I just can't do it anymore. And then he kind of pulled the plug.
Yeah, I mean, I really get that and I understand and I feel sympathy for that. But at the same time, he did also have to know kind of what he was getting himself into when mm-hmm. he signed up for this. And, you know, I know thinking about it, like, you know, it's COVID. He has a pregnant wife at home. He probably should have thought of that before he came on. And I do understand that right before he got on, like he got let go from the WWE. So mm-hmm. he kind of thought that this, you know, was kind of a way to provide for his family. I understand that, but you know, you got to kind of stick it out. Sometimes you got other people here that also have kids and also have family members to think about, you know, but I do feel for him and I don't anticipate he'll be asked back again. Cause I would think production wouldn't want to risk this happening again.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think so. It's a bummer because we kind of saw him right off the jump. He was standing up to Wes. He was ready. He, you know, he seemed to be one of the more vocal rookies that could kind of, you know, take charge. We've seen a lot of rookies take charge, and we thought he could have been in the mix. And it's disappointing that this is kind of the end for him, because I kind of agree. I don't see him being asked back. I mean, it's not like even in his brief time now that he's left, he didn't really do anything notable outside the one clip of him being like, I flip guys, you know, twice your size for a living. Other than that, like, he didn't win a daily, didn't really get in the mix. He wasn't a part of an elimination or anything, the show, anything there. So, firstly, this is probably a one and done. I thought he could have been a really promising person coming over from WWE. I mean, you would think with the athleticism, maybe this would lead to other people coming in if he really did well. So it is overall just a real bummer of a situation. And yeah, it's tough to get inside of his head to know exactly what was going on, because obviously, like, I have no idea what that kind of choking experience would be like. But yeah, it's very, very unfortunate all the way around that once again we have another player here leaving for a non-elimination reason.
So when you think about the people that have left, do you think if whatever the end result's going to be, do you think there's going to be any kind of asterisk or anything like that when you think about the winner of the season or the season overall?
I don't think so, because I mean, obviously, we haven't had this many kind of quits and stuff like that, but really the big one obviously was Natalie having mm-hmm. to leave in terms of someone who could really win. But for everyone else, I mean, not to like disparage like the Leos of the world and some of the people that have quit, but I don't really think the rest of them were really high up there, unless I'm like, now I'm kind of like blanking on everyone, but I feel like the rest of them were, you know, that you hate to see them go. But other than Natalie, like, there was no one real winner potential, I feel like, from the rest of them. What do you think?
I mean, I think Nicole could have had some dark horse ability to come to mm-hmm. come through and maybe do something. You know, Liv obviously is probably not going to get there,
right?
And yeah, like, you know, Leo's athletic, but I don't really see him winning a final.
Yeah, probably not. And it was interesting because, you know, when we see this level of quit, obviously the TJ Lavin, known hater of quitters, we see him rip apart anyone for quitting. It was very surprising. I don't know if it was very surprising, but it was some degree surprising to hear him like, you know what? He starts it off like, you know, for like one of their Leo, he chose to remove himself from the game, and I totally respect it. I thought he was going to go like, I hate it. This is the worst. You guys, if you don't want to be here, leave. But it's kind of crazy the way he kind of went about saying he respects it. And Aaron Zandy points out, does TJ not blasting Leo for quitting speak to how far the challenge has come in just the past couple of years?
Yeah, it also makes me wonder maybe if we're also missing something, you know, deeper with Leo, and maybe there were some really troubling signs, you know, further than that, than what mm-hmm. we saw. Because, you know, like you said, TJ does not suffer fools who quit.
No.
And I was kind of surprised that they, you know, kind of let Leo just go before the challenge and not, you know, have him stand there and be like, you know, you sure you want to quit, Leo? Like, you know, like TJ has done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him rip to shreds plenty of other people. There's been many occasions where TJ does not treat quitters nearly as well. I remember when Trishelle quit, she got on his no-go list or no-go or whatever he called it. It was, you know, he just doesn't do it. But I think, you know, the way MTV has really tried to make strides in awareness for many different issues that they've kind of lacked going back, you know, as the pointed out last couple of years, I think this kind of highlights what they're trying to change and make better about the show. And I think it's good. I mean, this isn't someone quitting because, you know, they're doing poorly in the house, or, you know, they got into a mm-hmm. fight, or they just simply like missed their wife back home or something like that. Like, clearly this was something deeper. And I think it's a good step that MTV is recognizing it. And, you know, there's quits that you can and probably should degrade and make fun of and, you know, and trash. But I think it's good that TJ and the show, I'm sure, can at least separate them into two different buckets.
Yeah, I mean, we even got the little car disclaimer, you know, talking about if you need mental help, mm-hmm. You know, to seek help, which, you know, definitely I agree with. It was just a lot different than what we're used to with a quit.
Yep, absolutely. So just before we get too far past, just circling back to where kind of this episode jumps off, there were two key moments right in the opening scene that really played a big focal point through the episode. The first, Fessy talking about Anissa's endurance. This is obviously something that is always a question of Anissa. You know, when you get her into the right elimination, she can really do well. But in terms of a final, in terms of endurance, this is, you know, what when we've kind of said the criticism of Anissa is kind of fair, this is what we were talking about. And this was kind of the lead up, the Fessy being worried about how Anissa would do in an endurance type of situation.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, oh, that's foreshadowing for sure.
Yep. Yep. And obviously, well, in the challenge that really played out. But then the other big kind of talking point that really kind of set the stage was this was the Teresa episode. Last week we had the Big T episode. This was not as fun to have Teresa in the spotlight as it was with Big T. But this certainly was Teresa's breakout episode. And we kind of see her kind of laying the groundwork a little bit. First, we see Nani talking about their a little bit of their backstory and the worried about Teresa that she's played dirty. She's worried about her. You can't trust her, and kind of laying the groundwork amongst the rest of the girls about where Teresa's allegiances may lie.
Yeah. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the Challenge 36. Where you been?
Yeah, it's good. You know, she was someone I'm sure a lot of people, if you're kind of just joining this season or even just, you know, the last few seasons, you don't really know a lot about Teresa because she really was a big part of the show for a few seasons there right before she got married and had a kid and took some time away from the show. So if you don't know a lot about Teresa, we kind of went over, me and Ali went over a little bit in the kind of the intro before the season, but a little bit of backstory of Teresa. She came in was Fresh Meat 2, which must have been now like 10 years ago, I think it was. She kind of hit the ground running. She was in the mix. She was in the drama. She was a good competitor. She nearly won a season. She got down to I think she was the one who replaced Naya and was paired up with Leroy at one point to a final. But she's a good competitor. I mean, in the days before, like the Lolos and the Jennies, who are the upper echelon competitors now, Teresa was up there. She was one of the stronger women. So that she was one of the more interesting ones to see how she would do in this new blend of kind of probably the strongest female crop that the challenge has ever had. So what were your impressions of Teresa before, not even just before this season, before this episode?
I've always thought Teresa was a very strong, one of the stronger female competitors, and she's proven it, you know, in multiple seasons. I was disappointed in the five episodes before this one that we barely got anything from her. But in this episode, she came out swinging. So I really enjoyed her this episode.
Yeah, it was interesting to see her and Lolo go at it because we kind of saw the brief glimpse of what we might expect to see from Lolo, where she was like about to snap and you could tell Teresa was getting nervous about it. I thought Teresa played it well, where she was trying to get her point across to Lolo, but knowing that if this blows up, it only goes badly for Teresa, let alone just having Lolo against her, but having the whole house kind of see them blow up. So I thought Teresa kind of handled this well of keeping Lolo's anger at bay during their little back and forth.
Yeah, I feel like part of Teresa's quarantine viewing was Champs versus Pros and Big Brother, you know, Big Brother Celebrity, because she says exactly what, you know, what we were thinking, like, don't piss her off because she will blow up. So that's something that Teresa knows about Lolo.
Yeah, you do not want Lolo on your bad side, as Nam, you know, we'll see soon enough. If you think sprinting to the finish line is bad, wait till you try to blindside Lolo. I think that's where, you know, someone might be killed in the moment. So you gotta be careful with Lolo. But Teresa did okay there, which I thought was a good sign for what we would see going to the rest of the episode. But I think she kind of worked all of her best political game in this one quick moment, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So. Then we get the whole Leo going home and the challenge coming up. And this is a challenge staple here, because we always look forward to these kind of mini finals before a final. Usually we get it, I feel like, later on, but this is a good kind of benchmark milestone moment in a season to see exactly where you step up and see where each team really with their strengths and their weaknesses. So this is always a good challenge to really get a good level set of where everyone stands.
Yeah, and the contestants are using the phrase mini final, which I'm not sure they've really ever used before. So they're kind of identifying what exactly this is. And, you know, this one even comes with a sponsor.
Yeah, the pump up Pico powder? What was it called?
P3 protein packs.
P3, yeah. This goes back to the days when they used to give out like the flip phones and like the Cancun trips. They used to give out prizes and everything. Even a few seasons ago, they used to have Burger King as a sponsor. So yeah, I guess if you're going to sponsor any of the dailies, the mini final was like probably the best one to do so far.
Yeah, I mean, but this was super duper weird, like super weird. So first TJ says, you know, you the winners are each going to get $3,000, right? Mm-hmm. And an extra special something. Okay, yep. So I'm thinking like, you know, some... You know, like they did with Burger King a couple of years ago where they got a Burger King feast.
Yeah.
So, you know, we go through the challenge, we get the winners, and then, oh, guess what? You're going to get another $3,000 on top of that. Like, why would we do that? Like, why is that a thing, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
And then they get this prize pack. Well, I'm not even sure what that thing was in the little pack that they got. Yep. It looked like it could have been a camera. It could have been a lightsaber kit. It could have been anything. I have no idea what that was.
And they really did, Teresa and Jay, obviously, the winners of this challenge, spoiler alert, but they really did such a bad job selling it. You could tell they probably looked through it, and they're just looking at the producers like, what the hell is this crap? What are we supposed to do with this? And they're like, no, this is their sponsor. We have to reshoot this. Please be so happy you won this. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. And they had to like all act happy, because that was the weirdest prize pack I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. It was so crazy. It was like moment of like, what? Well, I don't even know what this is. They're smiling about it. They're really happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, the $6,000 is obviously the centerpiece of this prize package, which is very cool. The challenge, Smuggler Run. So TJ lays it out that it's gonna be a 5-mile race where you have to complete various checkpoints, and you have to carry a heavy capsule on your shoulders between the two partners throughout the entire journey. So what were the kind of major standout highlights for you between any of the partners, any of the checkpoints? What kind of stood out for you during this challenge?
First of all, it's an awkward capsule. They wanted you to make awkward. Sure they yes. It was an awkward capsule.
Right. I don't know what a non-awkward capsule. I feel like all of you that carry any capsule would probably be pretty awkward. So,
yeah, I felt like this mini final kind of went according to plan. I feel like the teams that stayed in front were the vet teams mostly. And then you had the kind of vet plus rookie teams bringing up the rear.
Mm.
Jay and Teresa did really kind of surprise me. I feel like they're both kind of built for this type of thing, but it's still surprising that they jumped in, you know, into the lead and stuck pretty close to the front for a good majority of the challenge.
Yeah, for really the most of the time, it was Jay and Teresa and Corey and Ashley almost all the way through, which was pretty amazing. Obviously, you know, Nani, she normally thrives at this stuff. As she said, this is where, you know, it really shows off her skills. It was disappointing to see that challenge icon Nani didn't pull this one out. Kind of surprising. But good to see Millionaire Mitchell right in the mix, Corey right in the mix. So those are really the two teams that really went back and forth. And kind of going back to what we saw, I think it was Casey, right, who went the wrong way during the final. Or no, it was
Corey and Ashley who went the wrong way first.
Yeah, who was it that went the wrong way in the actual final, like last year? I think it was, didn't Casey go the wrong way?
I'm not sure.
Someone took a wrong turn in the final.
The only wrong turn I remember in finals is Natalie and Polly.
Yeah, maybe, you know, that's what it was. It was Natalie and Polly. Yeah, they went the wrong way. Yeah, they went down the wrong way of the path. But yeah, here, Ashley and Corey go the wrong way, and you hate to see it when you're carrying that capsule. They must have went down pretty far down the wrong path, and you know, they didn't have the little cloud guy like in Mario Kart to tell you to go in the wrong way. So
that really opened the door for Teresa and Jay.
It did, but even before that, to see Teresa and Jay, who, you know, Jay just, you know, his rookie season, he was a rookie. He was thought of as a layup. Teresa, as we mentioned, not a lot of people know a lot about her. So to see them win this type of challenge, even before, you know, all the politics stuff kind of went through, this really must have raised some eyebrows amongst everyone in the house. Be like, okay, well, you know, even as a team, as individuals, these are two that all of a sudden are rising up the pecking order of who could take this thing.
Well, it's the second challenge in a row where they've shown up really well.
Yeah.
So I think that puts a huge target on their backs.
Yeah, absolutely. And this time, Teresa didn't have, you know, a ledge to lean on to help her way through this one. She truly earned this one.
But Jay did finish that rope pull for us last episode, right?
He did.
Yeah.
He
so
did.
I mean, yeah, we got to give him that. We got to give him that credit. Yes, sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I loved another. So amazingly, Fessy and Anissa finished last. But Anissa's not worried because this isn't the final. So she.
Oh my gosh.
She didn't try. She didn't try her hardest. She could do a lot better when she really needs to.
God, Fessy, calm down. It's not the final. It's just a mini final.
Obviously, that's a load of crap. But like, how does Anissa pretend to like? Wouldn't she want to prove herself? Like, if this was the one thing that people were worried about you doing, wouldn't you go extra hard to prove that you could do it? So that way, next time it comes around that Fessy has a chance to change partners, she would want to stick with you. Because now this, if it wasn't guaranteed before, this guarantees if Fessy has the opportunity to switch partners again, he's going to take it if someone doesn't take him beforehand.
But I think she was trying her hardest, Brian. That's the thing.
I think so. You know, I think you cracked
she's
it.
Like, she's like, you know, Fessy wants me to run. I'm like, nope.
Yep.
And this is, I think that's, you know, for all of Vanessa's good qualities, she's definitely not an endurance person. We saw it in the elimination last episode. She gassed out throwing those balls at the targets and barely mm-hmm. beat Tori, who she had a huge lead over.
Yep. Yeah, this is, you know, and the endurance, you know, we don't always know what's part of each final, but endurance is always a big, big part of it. So if you, I mean, we don't know what the final this year is going to be like, if it actually is in pairs, if it's individual, if you're rotating pairs, but if you're with Anissa, compared to some of the other women that could be in the final, it's going to be a detriment. And Fessy, this is why we've said Fessy's concerns about being with Anissa were valid all along, and this really highlighted it even further.
Yeah, with all the talk about, you know, putting respect on Anissa's name, like you said, endurance is a vital part of the final. So, you know, it's going to be kind of like hot potato with Anissa, I think, until the final, if she doesn't get eliminated first.
Mm-hmm. It was disappointing to see how many of the teams timed out with the puzzle. Like, Ashley did. Ashley crushed it. Corey, the proud father, rooting them on. I think Jay and Teresa also got through it, and then I think everyone else timed out. I don't think anyone else completed it. It didn't seem like, I mean, it's hard to
Fessy exactly and Nisa tell. Finished it.
They finished it too. I guess they didn't help that
they were
much,
still but, last.
Yeah,
like we're all the time. Well, like Fessy was like, we're gonna make up time on the puzzle, and then they, you know, this was they were still last even though they finished the puzzle.
But to see everyone else is like boom, 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 all timed out. It's disappointing. I kind of wish, I mean, obviously, you know, Ashley and Corey doing the puzzle so well, like they finished second, but I almost wish there's even more of a detriment, or maybe like they should have made the time longer. Like maybe it should have been like a 30-minute limit. So they'll really keep them around. But I feel like if you can't do like a puzzle, like that's a huge part of a final, of a mini final, that there should be even more of a penalty to not do it, or even more of a reward to do it.
And throughout this whole episode, you really saw like the reasoning for Teresa to do what she did really just skyrocket, because Ashley killed every single thing in that mm-hmm. in that mini final. So you can't really blame Teresa for taking the shot that she did after she sees all that during that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you think of you, and you would assume Lola would be kind of a prime competitor for the women, but it's so sad to see Lolo and Nam, who are two of really the only original pairs left. There have been so much, you know, with people being medevaced and quitting and swapping and eliminations. They're one of the only original pairs left. And they are just, we have, you know, pretty high hopes for them, as even though as rookies coming in, we thought they could be two of the strongest male and female people, but their communication issues, it's looking really bad for Team Lolo and Nam here.
Poor Nam, man. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, Lolo's an intense person to deal with, but it seems like there's no back. They need a team therapy. Someone needs to really sit down with them to hash all their issues out and get a good plan going forward, because they're in rough shape.
Yeah, I felt like this challenge, this daily, more than any other daily this season, really tested their teamwork. One of the criticisms for the dailies this season for me has been like there haven't been a lot of like big teamwork challenges. It's usually been one side of the team carrying most of the weight.
Right.
Whereas this daily was both of the teams had to do, you know, a lot. I felt like there was probably a rule in there that said you can't like take your hand off that cylinder. Like one person can't carry it. Cause even when like Fessy and Anissa were going, like Fessy had most of it, but Anissa mm-hmm. had like a hand on it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, but that's why this was a great daily to see, because, you know, you got to see people's communications, you got to see people's endurance, you got to see people's puzzle ability, you got to see people's strength, you got to see how people do under pressure. So this really highlighted everything you kind of want to see. And that's why it's even more surprising to see Jay and Teresa rise to the top and win this thing. But good for them. They take home $6,000 each. I mean, that's going to be more than a lot of other people win this season. So, you know, it's a great job by them.
Truth.
Yeah. So, see, we got CT a little bit worried about Big T, which, as this would have been the fatal flaw, as we thought all along. Obviously, you know, they can crush it daily when it's just CT holding Big T up. But when it comes to physical strength, this is why Big T's upside in the show is always limited, because, you know, she could win a daily or two throughout a season, maybe an elimination, but she's just not one of the strongest women in the show. And that's, you know, it's apparent here. It's going to be apparent if she makes it to a final. Like, that's why her upside is just limited, which is why you enjoy her for what she is. But there's just she's not going to have, you know, winning multiple seasons and stuff like that, which is unfortunate. But that's, you know, you need the variety of people.
Yep. Any surprise with any of the placings of any of the people? Like, we got Josh and Nani in fourth beating Casey and Leroy.
Yeah, that was surprising. Casey and Leroy, like, you would think Casey and Leroy should have been right up there with, because I would have put my money on them as the most likely team to win this, right up there, I would say, with Corey and Ashley, just because they feel pretty balanced between strength and endurance and smarts. You know, there's no swimming component for Leroy to get tripped up on, so he's okay there. So I would have thought they would have done a lot better, and it makes me wonder how they might do. Maybe they really might need to split up. Maybe they're, you know, since they aren't really working together, as we kind of talked about with the communication issue, that could be what's holding them up to fulfill a lot of their more potential.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Kyle also was a standout here, coming in third with Cam. Mm-hmm. I think Kyle's has always been a little underrated, and this year is a good showing for him.
Yeah, the kind of the field, you know, if Fessy, if he does run a final with Anissa, even if he doesn't, we've seen Fessy not look nearly as strong as we might have thought he would be in some of these challenges. So the male side is kind of opened up, and Kyle got, you know, he got his skull. He has some friends in the house, so he could be protected. He's not someone that would be thought of as like an easy person to get a skull from, if it gets down to it, when, you know, all the skulls are handed out. So, I mean, he did pretty well in the final last season. Like, it was very surprising to see him do as well as he did. So yeah, Kyle winning is not out of the picture, and his odds of winning are better than what I thought they would be going into the season at the very least. He's been impressive.
Yeah, I think as long as he sticks like glue to Cam, I think it'll be okay, because that's, you know, the part of the game that he misses sometimes is the alliance piece and the, yep, you know, and all that. So I think if he sticks close to Cam, and, you know, and we saw later in the episode, he like basically begs her to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be okay.
He could be. Yeah, he could be. So Jay and Teresa get the win. As you said, they got the extra $3,000 each, so they got $6,000 each. And of course, the amazing prize pack that they look very happy celebrating. And then it really gets down to business with, once again, this season has been one of the more strategic and kind of political seasons that they've had in a while, especially because they have the skull twist. So it's great to see that this twist is here and people are still, you know, plotting and making moves in such a contrast to last season. So that is very encouraging that they have this skull twist. Why do you think that is compared to last season, where last year, you know, everyone wanted just to go, people were begging to go in, and here there really are some cutthroat moves being made. What makes you think is kind of the difference between that, how it went last year and this year?
Well, I think they put that finite number on. There are five each. So now, instead of going in immediately getting your skull and kicking back, because because for whatever reason, they thought, hey, I got my skull. If I get my skull, this is last season. If I get my skull, I'm just good. I'm kicking back for the rest of the way. But now we know there are five each. So we know now if you get your skull too early, like, there's definitely going to be headhunting for you because there's only five available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's probably, yeah, that's got to be it, right? Knowing that even if we come down to it, we'll know the people that we're going up against, and everyone just can't get one. So I think, yeah, right, having the finite numbers, I think, you know, the way this season is kind of playing out, I think this could be the format they just keep, you know, whatever, exactly five skulls, depending upon, you know, how it might go with the format of teams versus pairs and stuff like that. But having a set number of people in a final, knowing in going in, I think that this format could stick, and I think they might keep this one for a little bit.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that for sure.
Yeah. So right after the challenge, Teresa gets back, and the first person that tries to start, kind of seeing where she's sits is Ashley. She says she picked up some senses, some mood, that she feels like she could be on the chopping block. So she goes up to Teresa, and in the first of a few lies that Teresa will tell, she reassures Ashley that she's fine. She's not going anywhere. She's got nothing to worry about. They're good together. And I've been watching the show for many years, and I'm probably an idiot, but I didn't understand the Teresa Ashley feud. I thought they would be fine. I didn't think Teresa would be going for her, but I guess it does, as you brought up, kind of make sense to really go after a big hitter. But I didn't think that's where Teresa's head was at. I thought she'd be going after people like a Nani who would be going against her, but you know, she really had this kind of plan all set in motion to get out two of the big hitters, and Ashley was the top of her list.
Well, I think if you're Teresa, you acknowledge who is and is not on your side. I think she did very well in kind of identifying that. And she knows that there are these big threats in the house that are against her. So you might as well, like she said, get rid of one of them so you don't have to worry about them going forward. And I think she knows if she gets her skull now that those big threats are going to try and take it from her at some point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, go
something
ahead.
Something else I found interesting about this whole episode was Anissa's place in everything.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the episode, they talked about how Teresa, you know, backstabbed Anissa as she knew Anissa was going in. We heard nothing from Anissa about it. We heard things from Cam. We heard everything from Nani, from Lolo. We didn't hear anything about Anissa finding out that Teresa knew, or if she already knew that Teresa knew. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised we didn't see that. Maybe she was waiting till later and then didn't want to kind of push the issue once Teresa won, so that way she wouldn't want to go after Anissa. But it's a good point that if the word was already being spread, Anissa's not one to usually bite her tongue. Like, we kind of see this is a hallmark of Anissa. She'll go up to someone and speak her mind, especially when she's upset with someone. So it is surprising that she would kind of get this information and sit on it. But I guess, I mean, it kind of worked out, because otherwise she could have easily been part of Teresa's hit list to get out instead of maybe a Cam or an Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, I would have even preferred a confessional from Anissa saying mm-hmm. anything about it, but we didn't even get that.
No.
So it's hard to wonder where Anissa's head is at right now with that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good point. That's a good point. So we got a little bit of Lolo and Nam here trying to settle on a team meeting. They're kind of talking through their issues. Lolo, very upset that Nam didn't sprint to the finish. That's all she wanted. She didn't care if they lost. Just wanted to see them sprint to the finish. Well, Nam was upset that Lolo yelled at him. So where do we land on the Lolo and Nam team and their dynamic? Where do you fall?
I mean, I'm team Nam. He seems like a good guy. And, you know, Lolo's pushing him at the end of the challenge, like, hey, jog it in. And he's like, why? For what? And, which I personally agree with as a lazy person. I hate yeah. that.
Yeah.
But then when they're in the house and he's explaining to her, like, you know, we didn't communicate. I was trying to hold the thing and you were telling me different things to do. And part of it, I definitely think is maybe a language barrier. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely feel for Nam. You also kind of feel for Lolo. She was definitely getting very emotional in that conversation. And she talks about how she, you know, she is used to team sports. She's great at team sports. I mean, I get team sports, but Lolo, maybe team reality competitions are not your thing.
Right. Right.
As we've seen in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. They're, you would think they should do so well together, but maybe they would be better apart. Maybe they seem to find like that real partner who kind of brings out the best in them. Cause clearly they're not bringing out the best of each other. They're not doing well in any of these dailies. They're, you know, we'll see when it comes down to elimination, but I think that's almost where they would thrive, right? Like, they're doing it on their own, not relying on the other person. So I think what it needs to come down to is one of the, like, that they need to go to elimination. One of them, they'll probably win. Cause whoever they go up against, like, I would take my chances with Lolo or Nam, and they need to go to a greener pasture, split it up, get someone else in the mix for both of their sake. And I think both of their chances would rise when that happens. Cause I think that's at this point for them, I would be stunned if they got into elimination and they chose to go back to each other. I think they would both look to kind of move on.
Well, even Lolo even says that at one point in the episode, she's like, well, maybe it's just better if we, you know, get this partnership done and over with. Let's fantasy cast a Lolo and Nam. Who would you prefer to see both of them with?
It's a good question. So I think for Lolo, she's going to really need someone like keep it calm, keep her focused. And like CT really jumps to mind. I see how he's really kind of cultivated Big T and that she's someone who's not like a great competitor. But I think you pair Lolo with CT, I think that would be a real pair that would cause a lot of trouble. I think CT would really get the best out of Lolo.
You know, CT would jump at that at that opportunity. But I do think he would get a little more frustrated with Lolo if she starts, you know, acting out like she did in this challenge, in this daily. I do also think that Corey might be a good partner for her, because we saw how Corey kind of manages Ashley as well. And, you know, with everything that Ashley brings. So I think Ashley and Lolo's temperament can be kind of similar at times.
Yep.
So I think that might be a good partner too. For
Who do you think would pair well with Nam? Who could bring the best out of him?
For Nam, who do I want for Nam? I think it's somebody that again can keep calm. I think Cam would be good.
Mm-hmm.
I think even Anissa would be good.
Yeah.
And it would bring Nam down, I think, like how he's bringing Fessy down. But, you know, I don't think a Nani would do well with him.
No.
I don't think any of the really rookie girls would do well with him.
Yeah, I think he needs a good veteran presence, that someone who's been around the block that could really help him during some of these challenges, like some of the things he might not be familiar with doing. I think that's what he needs. I think Anissa would be a very interesting pairing for him. See how they would balance each other, but you know, we'll see who gets down to the elimination first and what pick they make. I'm surprised, you know, at some point maybe one of them will be taken as a partner. Maybe that could be how these are splitting up, because they're two of the strongest people, so it's kind of surprising that they haven't really been grabbed yet, but maybe that'll come soon.
Yeah, but based on their performance, because they haven't, I don't think they've really done that great in any dailies, have they?
No, they haven't. I can't recall anyone that they've really even been close to winning, like even in like top two or three. So yeah, they've been a big disappointment for sure.
Yeah, I think some of these vets may see them, and because I think a lot of the vets have seen these like big people come in and really kind of let down in the past. So maybe they have that thought about those two. I don't know, because there's been plenty of opportunity to take both of them and nobody's taken them.
Yep. So the club scene this week is really, again, where a lot of the politicking goes down. And the assumption amongst everyone is it is a girl's day once again. You know, with the departure of Leo, I guess they thought this would be, you know, to re-even it out, this going back to a girl's day. So once again, did you think that, you know, we kind of thought we could have had a switcheroo last week. Did you think this was setting up for the switcheroo where the house thought it would be a girl's day, but when they got down there, it would be a guy's day? What did you expect going in?
They really wanted us to buy that it was a girl's day, like, you know, but and at the same time, it felt like they almost wanted to trick us, too. So I had no idea. Like, I get in my head about these things a lot. I'm like, well, do they want us to think it is, or they want us to think it might not be? So going into the actual crater, I did think it was still a girl's day, because there's still such an imbalance of men who have a skull and women who have a skull.
Yeah, this was the week, though, where I thought they could have done it, because at least last week, you know, you still, like this week with Leo leaving and then Devin and Gabby being paired up, there was no rogue agent, so they could have done anything. Like, they could have had it be a guy's day and for the first time have a girl be a rogue agent, which, I mean, just by sheer chance and like the weird breakdown of the season, they just haven't had yet. So I thought they could have gone down that road, and it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't change that much, because with the set number of skulls being divvied out, it's not really going to matter. Like, you can have it, girl skulls still be available while all the guy skulls are out. And then that just got out. The breakdown goes for elimination. So I think they could have done it. I thought this would have been kind of a good spot to do it, but I guess maybe they're waiting on the switch, but I think it's coming. There's gonna be one of these episodes where they're convinced it's a guy or his girl's day and it gets down there and it's going to switch. Yep. So it's just a matter of when, and we'll see who hits the grenade and unfortunately takes the bullet.
I almost thought that it was going to be like a double elimination. Mm-hmm. It would be like a man and a woman going, like both of the two pairs are going together, like the way TJ was talking at the crater.
Yeah, I think that's definitely on the table. That's one another thing that I wish, I'm sure they had at least thought of, but I really wonder, with all the people having to leave early, if that's going to impact them being able to do any type of double elimination. If they had planned to do kind of a purge at some point, maybe they scrap that and do a double. So I'm sure they probably are having to reshuffle some of the planning and tweaks for the season because of all the non-eliminations, unfortunately. So we'll have to see how that kind of impacts things.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Going back to the rogue agent aspect, how much do you think Devin was trying to convince Leo to stay just one more day, after this challenge?
Yeah, that didn't work too great. I mean, sure, he got the free pass last week, but then actually not really. He didn't even get a free pass because, he had to go peg with Gabby, and he still had to do the challenge. Here we thought he would be, you know, sitting out of the mini final and getting a break, and nope, he had to do it with Gabby, and it didn't really do, it's the tough spot because Devin's probably... He's not really high on someone's list to get taken. He already has his skull, so it's not like he's going to be forcing his way down there. So I think until they come going for Gabby and maybe she gets eliminated. I don't see Devin. Devin's probably here for the long haul with Gabby, yeah, for at least a few episodes.
I think in contrast to his behavior last week where he kind of wanted to get rid of Tori, I think for right now, I think he's probably happy with where he's at.
Yeah, but I mean, it's tough because obviously you would think Tori would be a better competitor than Gabby, though we haven't really seen, you know, Gabby really hasn't had her chance to really shine yet. So, you know, we'll see when she gets down to elimination how she does. But, you know, I guess with Devin having a skull, it kind of changes things. He doesn't need to really gain power. He just needs to try to avoid some eliminations, which I think he probably will have to defend his skull, because when you get down to, you know, between Fessy and Kyle and eventually who are the other two guys that get it, Devin probably is going to be higher on the pecking order of people who think, okay, I can get his skull. So my guess is he will have to defend his skull at some point, but I think he has at least a few weeks before that comes calling.
Yeah, I think it would be big trouble for him if this was a season where, let's say, you know, the last place finisher in the daily has to go in. But for right now, I think he's good with where he's at. And I think probably there are some targets that, you know, are ahead of him as far as people that don't have skulls yet. They just want to get rid of and, you know, but until they have to start headhunting each other for skulls.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So we got Fessy trying again to work game on Gabby, and I guess Gabby is a little more receptive this time, but it doesn't really see much is going on there, which is crazy because I mean he was so interested in Tori leaves, now he's back to Gabby. I mean, do you care even a semblance about Fessy and Gabby's relationship?
It was creepy, and it was also a little funny because at the same time where Gabby is like kind of complimenting him on improving his game, she's still dogging him. She's like, you know, if Fessy didn't come talk to me, I would not have even come talk to Fessy at all, because he's Fessy.
Yeah, I guess the only thing Fessy has going for him is that she has nowhere else to go. She's here. This is the people. She can't leave. So yeah. I guess he's got that. He's got that going for him. So this is where we really start to see Jay and Teresa's kind of mindset split. They want to split up power teams. They really want to, and Ashley was the first person that Teresa really wants to go for. And this is where she kind of loses me, because she wants, it kind of makes sense. She wants the house to vote for her, so she doesn't get the blood on her hands, but she wants to like try to do it subtly so it doesn't come back. But then she runs around and basically tells everyone. And by the time it gets to nomination, everyone knows that Ashley is coming, that Teresa is coming for Ashley. So the balance doesn't like add up in the terms of her plan here.
Yeah, like I said, I get the move, but don't go around talking to everybody about it to the point where everyone knows what's happening at deliberation. Like, you know, don't, even if you want to do this, just be a little more upfront about it. I don't understand what the big deal is about being secretive. I think Teresa probably already had figured out that those people are not with her anyway. I don't understand what the big secret is. Why I feel the need to do that.
Yeah, it was weird. And for Teresa coming in, she doesn't have a lot of friends. It kind of seemed like Ashley was like cool with her, the way she went up to her and like they were like, we're cool, right? Like, I feel like Ashley was not coming for Teresa at all. And this seemed like there's a lot of rookie girls still in the mix. Like, this seemed like if you really wanted to sway the house vote, this seemed like a prime spot to, you know, go after one of the Ambers, Gabby or Big T, to go get an easy spot to go for a skull. I mean, why does Teresa need to try to hang along as long as possible? Get your opportunity to get a skull. I think this was a prime spot, and it was interesting that was never really on the table at all, and it was all focused on getting out a top girl, where I feel like this was a great spot for Teresa to really get her skull with a lot of options on the table.
But I kind of feel like Teresa is fashioning her game after Wes, where I think Teresa wants to take all these rookie girls and put all the rookie girls under her wing, get a alliance going with them so that they can hopefully pick off all the, you know, vets, so that Teresa's competition is only these quote unquote weaker rookie girls. The only problem is these vets like that are in there with Teresa may be a little better than Teresa at a lot of these aspects of the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. And I mean, I guess with Ashley, at least going after her, she is also someone who doesn't have a lot of friends in the house, so it makes sense that, you know, even if Ashley comes back, there's not a lot of people mad. But how it eventually plays out with her using Cam as kind of like the headhunter to knock out Ashley, that was the biggest part for me where she really lost me in her plan, where We can go back a little bit to the vote, but just jumping ahead to the conversation she has with Cam, which I think is the most detrimental part of this entire episode, where she goes up to Cam and she lays out, like, you know, if it's a headbanger and you want it, like, I'll give it to you. But if not, don't worry. I won't throw you in. I won't go back on my word. You have my word. I wouldn't do that to you. That's where this plan really loses me.
Yeah, if you want to finesse this, you should go up to Cam and say, Cam, you are a killer Cam. I need you to go in there and take out Ashley. If that's how you want to play it that way. But don't sit here and lie to the girl and be like, unless you want to go in, you're not going in. Maybe she thought she would get lucky and like it would be a headbanger and Cam would volunteer herself. But even that's like a really big gamble there to take with that. I feel like the better approach would have been to approach you like, yo, killer Cam, I know you got it in you. Take this girl out. Because even Cam says she doesn't mind going up against Ashley, to take her out. Like, it's not even like they're huge alliance members together.
I think if there's one person you really do not want to piss off in this house, I think it's Cam. She just has so many people with her and like backing her in part of her kind of crew that if you go after Cam and you miss, and she's now back in the house and going, she has so many people now going to be with her going after Teresa. Where I think if you pump up Lolo and have her go into it and Lolo comes back like that, like who else besides Lolo is going to be mad at you that if you do that to her? So, or even like, I guess Casey has like the big brother people, or at least, there's something else. I just think Cam was like the worst possible pick to have be your person that you're targeting here.
Yeah. And if you put in Lolo, like, and Lolo comes back mad, who cares? Like, who really does Lolo have?
Right.
But I do think, like I said, I think Teresa wants to keep all the rookies with her, so I don't think she wants to piss off Lolo, especially with the conversation they had earlier that day. I think putting Cam and Ashley into the elimination was good for Teresa's game. The way that she did it was not good for her game.
Yeah, I agree. I think... there was a better way to get Ashley in, but even that, whatever, it was going to come out no matter how you tried to get the house vote. I just think the Cam part of it was really, really bad. And there was even if you just didn't even promise her that, just like blindside her in the, like at the elimination, don't like make the whole, like, show and dance of like, I'm only going to do it if you tell me to do it. Like, and then how does anyone else going forward trust your word? Like, if you so blatantly lie to someone's face, like it's one thing to backstab and scheme, but just so blatantly be like, I will not do this. And then you do it like 2 hours later.
Yep.
Like, how does anyone then take her seriously for any type of alliance or trusting going forward? It's like, that's where she really loses me.
Yeah, and I'm saying you didn't even need to blindside Cam. Like, leave the blindside out of it. Like, say, Cam, I'm giving you the opportunity to get your skull, and I'm giving you the opportunity to get a big player out. That's what's happening.
Yeah, even that'll do. So, at the nominations, I did like Ashley's appeal. Normally, people during these speeches, you go really off target. They start causing fights. I thought Ashley had one of the more sensible, logical arguments that I've ever heard.
She made really great points. Like,
it was incredible. She should be a lawyer because that was so perfect. Yeah, she laid it out so well that making appeals to both the guys and the girls for why it would be smart to not vote for her. The first she brought up the fact that, it may not be a girl's day, so who you're voting for, it could be the guys. We don't know what might happen. She brings up to the guys that, we're voting out a lot of the strong girls. What if you're paired up with someone in the final? I'm someone you want to run a final with. She brings up to the girls, we don't know who Teresa wants to go up against. Do you really want to go up against me in elimination? She was laying out beat by beat just perfect explanations about why you should not vote for her. It was incredible.
Well, and then Amber comes in like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, I think she wants me. Like, when did anybody ever say anything about Amber going in? Which was weird to me. She's like pipes up. I'm like, what? No one said anything about that, Amber. Calm down.
I don't know why MTV keeps cutting out scenes that involve Amber, because then like they show we saw the scene last time with the fight with Devin. Like, they clearly cut something out there, and then they just decide to leave in that part with the fight with Devin with no context. And then here, like, what is she like? Obviously, there must have been something that caused her to say that. She wasn't just saying that randomly. But if you're going to show that, why not show what Ashley like might have said in her speech? Maybe she actually said in her speech, we should vote in one of the rookie girls like Amber. Like, if she said that, why not include that in the speech so they give additional context into why Amber was clapping back? That was weird.
Well, and even when Ashley is voting, she's like, Amber, I really like you, but it's either you or me, which is like, you know, I don't know where this animosity from Amber came from.
Yeah, that really came out of nowhere. I don't know why MTV continues to not include that.
And then freaking Michi pipes up. It's like, dude, what?
Right.
We haven't heard from you all season, and now you want to pipe up. You know, anytime, and even as bad as Michi is, like, anytime I see Michi or hear Michi, I just think about Zendaya is Michi. Like, it was this thing with, you know, when she was in that animated movie, and there's this meme going around with Zendaya. That's the only thing I think about Zendaya when I see or hear him.
Yep. So the way this voting went, that was pretty interesting. So this was, I think, was the least kind of unanimous vote that we had. So we only had, so the votes for Corey and Ashley to go in were Gabby, Devin, CT, Dom, Lolo, Michi, Big T, Amber M, and Casey. So what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like nine, 8 or 9 votes, which, I mean, considering how many people are left now, that was, I mean, there were a lot of stray votes that people were throwing out there.
It just seems like it was really a bad strategy on the other side of the house's part. I think if they had gotten together and decided on, you know, it seemed like none of them got together and decided on a target to go after. Because I went back and I found the actual votes of everybody, because they didn't show everybody's votes, because I wanted to know, like, what happened. So, so for Ashley and Corey, you had the people that you mentioned. For Gabby and Devin, we had Leroy, Nani and Josh, and Cam. For Cam and Fessy threw a vote at Cam and Kyle for some reason. He was the only person to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Amber and Michi, you have Darrell, Amber B, Corey and Ashley, Anissa and Kyle. So you have just random votes just thrown everywhere. And even Leroy says in his vote, like, he's just burning his vote. Like, why are you burning your vote not strategically? And even Ashley calls him out for that, you know, when she gets called down to the crater.
Yeah, you know, it's odd because, I mean, maybe they don't really know exactly what intel, like, the double agents get down there. Maybe they think they get everyone's vote, because if you're not voting for the people that go in, like, Teresa and Jay want everyone to vote for Ashley. So all they're seeing is the people who voted for Ashley, and thus the people who didn't vote for Ashley. So if you're worried about pissing off Jay and Teresa by not going with their plan, why not go fully, like, try to vote someone else in? Like, burning a vote, it doesn't do anything. It's not like all of a sudden the people voted in have any power about who they voted in. So, like, I don't see the upside of burning votes, or, like, if the voting strategy for this round was way off base. And it's surprising, because it was the rookies who really came together to make this happen and not the vets. And, like, the vets could have rallied together and really changed things up. So it was very disappointing, not disappointing, so surprising to see how way off base a lot of these votes were.
Well, and then something I saw, like, you know, Casey and Leroy are, like, still not on the same page.
Nope,
even though they were separated and came back together, they still are doing their own things.
Yeah, almost like on purpose, like specifically, like, I'm doing the opposite of what they're doing. Like, it's like one of them finds out what they're doing, like, nope, I'm specifically not doing that. It's crazy how fully opposite they are. But, you know, as a team, they're, you know, even though they didn't do that well this daily, they're still one of the stronger ones out there. But I can't imagine them.
Yeah, the quote unquote Big Brother Alliance has all voted in four different directions, which is like, what's going on there?
Yeah, there was, you know, no real leadership amongst the other back. You know, at least for we could criticize the plan, but at least Teresa had a plan, organized troops to execute it, and, you know, they pulled off the vote to get Ashley in. And I think this episode, I don't know if Ali and I ever realized exactly how this plays out, but it is very clear now. There is a time period where the double agents can tell the person who's voted in, but they don't specifically know. So they can tell them, you're the ones voted in, or they can let them be blindsided at the elimination, which is what plays out here. Like, Ashley and Corey could have been told that they were going in, but Jay and Teresa specifically did not tell them. And for Jay's perspective, who we should probably get to here, because obviously Teresa has her game plan. She wants to get to heavy hitter girls that go against each other, which is, you know, how she did was one thing, you know, execution's another. But for Jay, he really is the collateral damage here, and I think it'll probably play out next week. But what did you make of how Jay handled this situation throughout this entire episode?
I feel like Jay did worse than Teresa in his, you know, social gameplay. Like, he promised like the world to Corey and to Kyle. Like, if you were going in, I would directly tell you, like, no problem. And he just like, and then Corey brings up again, like, you lied to me on the way here, like on the bus. Like,
right.
Why at that point, just why would you do that?
Yeah, because again, like, there's one thing to lie, another thing to, like, backstab and blindside, but it's these blatant, like, to your face lies that are going to be, like, realized to everyone immediately. It's not like this is something like, oh, I didn't vote for you, and it's like you won't find out until after the season, and you can kind of cover your tracks. Like, this is something they're going to find out in an hour. So you might as well tell them.
I looked at you 10 minutes ago and told you you weren't going in. Now I'm looking you in your face telling you you are going in.
Yeah. So for Jay, you know, he was starting to really build some good, solid relationships with people who were power players, and now it's all coming crumbling down. And for Jay, the way this played out, he should have prayed it was the guy's day, so that way maybe one of the people that he pissed off could have went home, because now he's got everyone in the house, a lot of the guys in the house against him, not a lot of support beside him, and there is a very good chance that Jay is into an elimination next week. And it's not to say he can't win and get his gold skull and maybe this will work out, but he's certainly not going to get his, you know, pick of the litter of how he wants to go in. I just think the things are looking badly for Jay here.
Well, it seemed that he thought that he might have been justified because it was not a guy's day. Like, he tells Corey, Corey asks him to tell him if they're going, and he's like, yeah, for sure, I'll tell you, but, you know, it's not a guy's day anyway, so, you know, what are you worried about? And then when they do the little switcheroo and pretend it's a guy's day and then reveal it's not a guy's day, he's so relieved that, you know, one of his out of nowhere seemingly best friends, Corey, I don't know where that relationship came from.
Right.
But they, you know, seemingly best buddies now. His best buddy's not going to go in. He seemed relieved about that, that he thought that he would be justified because he wasn't sending Corey in. He was sending in Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, not to give Josh any credit, I almost puked just thinking about that, but he was a little bit on the side of, like, Jay is kind of sus, so we can't, I don't know if I could trust him. And then it kind of plays out that Jay's a little shady and, you know, you can't really trust him. So I guess, you know, a little bit of point for Josh, a little bit, half point maybe for partial credit.
I'm not giving him anything. I think he said that after the fact. He said that after the fact. I'm going to say that.
Okay, good. I didn't want any support on that anyway. I didn't like saying it, but I just thought I had to say it. So we find out, they find out Ashley and Corey are voted in. Everyone is shocked. And then it comes down to the vote, and it's Cam and Kyle voted in. So as Teresa says, they had their plan and they executed it. And we find out TJ with the old rope-a-dope here. This is very funny. tells the guys that it's a very important elimination for the guys. Lays out a big pause. Then he goes to stand on the sideline to watch the women compete. Barry, TJ's having fun there.
He did definitely get me, though. He got me for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. He got me. But at the same time, when he had that pause, I thought it was going to be something similar to, because they're going to find out who their partner is or something to that degree, where it was going to swerve back to be a girl's day.
Yeah. Do you think that what am I thinking? Cam and Kyle had any business being that mad when they obviously voted against what Jay and Teresa probably wanted?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the thing for them that why they could be mad is they were just, again, it's like, the lie to their face. Like, it's again, if Teresa went up to Cam as being like, you know what, I'm like, my goal this week, I want to get two heavy hitters out, I hope you beat Ashley and come back in, but I'm sorry, like, I'm voting you in, just, you know, right, get yourself geared up, get ready to go, you're going in. But the fact that she was just so, both of them were so adamant to everyone that you are not the one going in, like, it would be amazing that they wouldn't be pissed, because how would you not be pissed if you were so blatantly told you are not going in, do not worry, and then you're going in? Like, I think you have to be upset even a little bit.
Yep. 100%.
Yep. So the elimination this week, I thought it was a pretty cool one. I didn't catch the name of it. Did you catch the name of the elimination?
I didn't.
So they're on a platform and they have to swing. You kind of use a little bit of momentum to swing back and forth to put six rings on hooks that are kind of surrounding the platform in the air. What did you make of this elimination?
You know, you liked it. I thought it was kind of boring. Maybe it was just because it seemed pretty straightforward as a Cam started out in the lead and just never really gave it up. And Ashley could never really figure it out. It was weird. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really figure out why Ashley was having such trouble getting those rings off. But the structure of the challenge I enjoyed, you know, the the overall competition, but it just never really seemed competitive between the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, Cam, you know, they kind of made it seem like she even struggled in the first minute, which is not really struggling much. And then from there, she pretty much dominated, which is not surprising. Like Cam, I mean, it's amazing. 10-1. I didn't realize that was her elimination. That's crazy impressive. Killer Cam, activated. Really. Yeah, but for me, I enjoyed that. It was something different. I enjoy when, you know, it's not the same type of elimination week in and week out. I like that they tried doing something different. I thought it was easy to follow. Like, it wasn't like you could kind of easily track who was doing well, who was struggling. So I thought it was visually appealing. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. Kind of at least elimination to watch. Obviously, it could have been a lot better if it was kind of closer, if Ashley put up a little bit more of a fight. But that's, you know, that's not on MTV. That's just on Killer Cam dominating. So, but in terms of the elimination itself, yeah, I thought it was a good one. I'd be fine with this being part of the regular rotation.
Mm-hmm. So we got Cam being 10-1.
Yeah.
But she's been to two finals in her other two seasons. So are we not kind of like a purge as an elimination?
I guess so. Yeah. I didn't realize has she really been like 11 eliminations. I can't believe that, if that's really true, but I guess so. If they whip out the stats like that, but I mean, if we're kind of, I don't think we can count purges at eliminations. Like if that's what they're including in that, I wouldn't include that myself, but just even if, you know, if it's close to that, that's, you know, that's upper echelon, like early days, Cara Maria type stuff with her elimination record. So Killer Cam and Killer Kyle, as he said, living up to their name down there. That was, Cam is not someone you mess with, but again, like you said, you know, there's elimination, she's great at eliminations, but even as Cam pointed out herself, there's elimination good and then there's final good, and we'll see. Yeah, if I thought that the way this season was breaking out, it was kind of setting up for Cam. I still feel that way, but it, you know, final's a different ball game, so we'll see how she actually does, assuming she gets down there.
Yeah, for her to say that she's one of the stronger girls in the house, I do kind of agree with that, but at the same time, I'm gonna need you to win one at some point.
Yep. I totally agree. I, you know, we kind of saw this with Tori. People love to talk when they win some eliminations, but until you get a win, you know, winning a final is a much different animal, especially when it's like an individual or even a pair type thing. It's a much different animal winning that than it is winning some eliminations. So if Cam gets that, then absolutely. She has her name right up there in the current days of the strongest females. Absolutely. But she still needs to pull it off. I thought one of the more surprising moments actually of the season, she chooses to stick with Kyle. What did you think? Did you expect her to stick with Kyle? Did you expect her to take a partner? Well, what did you think Cam was going to do there?
Listen, I think that Kyle, like I said, has kind of been proving himself this season so far. He hasn't slowed her down that much. I think they're a little evenly matched in the dailies. And Kyle has a skull. I think that's also a plus, to have a team with two skulls. You know, you might be able to slide on the radar for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think
she made the right choice there.
Yeah, I wonder if the way Fessy has really played the last couple of weeks, if he's almost poisoned himself amongst some of the other stronger women, that they're like, you know what, I don't want to deal with like his baggage, because you would think here this would be a great spot for Cam. Like, she has a skull, Fessy has a skull, you know, they're paired up with skulls. I don't see anyone targeting them really anytime soon, let alone maybe ever. But maybe she just doesn't want to deal with him. Maybe he just feels he's too toxic of a partner to be with.
And maybe she doesn't want to touch Corey, because apparently Corey is poison.
Yeah. And I wonder, I mean, obviously you would think Cam and Leroy have had some type of discussion about if they would ever pair up and when. I kind of wish that's something they would show. I would love to know, because they've obviously have had this discussion about, you know, should we pair up? And if we do it, should we wait till the end, right before the final? I would love to know what that conversation what was about and what was said. I wish they would show that.
I found it interesting that Cam said something to the effect of, you know, I hope that Leroy seeing me going down there getting my skull gives him the confidence to go down there and get his own skull. I found that to be an interesting comment. Like, is Leroy maybe trying to actively avoid, you know, getting a skull right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting also. I don't know why Leroy would need that extra boost, but you know, Cam, you know, she's becoming elimination queen, so I guess she really knows what to say and do down there, so I guess Leroy can learn something from her, because she dominates down there.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, after this, do you have any, like, kind of idea where the alliance structures are? Like, because I was, like, kind of thinking about it, writing down some things, like, not sure where everyone lies.
Yeah, so what do you got? Let's see if we could kind of kind of map this out a little bit, because even like again here with the voting, like voting's kind of all over the place. So do you, what do you have a kind of a big picture pairing or alliances? What do you have?
So I kind of use the structure of like the two main bodies of this episode. So I have Teresa and Jay on one side, and I have Cam on another side.
Yep.
So for Teresa and Jay, I have Gabby and Devin. I have Amber, M, and Michi.
Mm-hmm.
I have Big T and CT. And then I have Nam and Lolo. Now, those are all people that voted with them this go round.
Yeah, so that's a lot of like the rookies. So you got all like the rookies, and all, I would almost like, not Teresa's obviously not a rookie, but just like a newbie coming back in. So she's part of that crew. CT, I would feel like, is probably the least likely, not least likely, but he's the one who can definitely jump ship if he needs to.
Yeah, I think if CT loses Big T, he's gone. And CT has gone with the daily winner, I think, just about every week.
Yeah, he'll go wherever the wind is blowing to best protect him and serve his needs, which is good. That's what he kind of should be doing. But yeah, he's the one who would be most willing to kind of flow in and out.
Yeah, but we have seen him kind of listen to Big T a little bit and want to kind of, you know, go with her. So I think as long as he's with Big T, and if it suits them that week, they have no problem going with Teresa and Jay.
Absolutely.
And so then I have Cam. So I have Cam with Kyle. I have Leroy, of course. Then I have Nani and Josh. And then we have like kind of my unknowns I have here. I have Corey, Casey, who voted with Teresa and Jay.
Yeah, very odd. Very odd.
So that was odd to me. And then we got Fessy, who threw a vote this time. Got Anissa, who also threw her vote, apparently. And then we got Darrell. I think Darrell, though, is firmly on the vet side, so I think I probably want to put him in the Cam column.
Right, I think so. Yeah, it's a shame we haven't really, you know, we haven't gotten a good sense of where I really, you know, similar to how Teresa had this episode. I'm looking forward to Darrell winning a daily, and we can get a real sense of where he wants this game to go and who he's with and what type of move he wants to do. Because he kind of, even in the beginning of the season when it was all let's get out the winners, like Darrell was not really mentioned there at all. So
but I think that's smart that he's kind of laying low so that he doesn't get that kind of heat.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to the episode where Darrell really rises up and we got to really get a sense of where his head is at, because he's easily someone who could win this whole thing. So kind of getting a sense of what his kind of game plan is would be great.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't get that, you know, visibility pop, you know, when it's his elimination day. Right. Yes,
definitely. It's just with all these Alliance parents, you know, we've seen a lot of talk about the Big Brother crew. But once again, they kind of vote all over the place. You would think between like Josh and Casey and Fessy, you got like Amber also, like some of the, like you would think they would be able to have more of a block together, but they really kind of do their own thing.
Do you think Amber B is with them? Cause her season is really kind of far apart from their seasons. So I just wonder how close that relationship is. Cause Amber B seems to be sticking with the rookie girls and Darrell.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that she's with them, and that's really a major detriment for the Big Brother people. I feel like if, you know, they were able to pull her in, like then all of a sudden you have Big Brother plus the rookie girls as like a giant alliance that really could be controlling these things week in and week out. And they kind of, I guess they just discounted her, or they just didn't, you know, we saw a conversation that Casey had with her very early on, but that obviously did not amount to much. So it's kind of a big detriment on the Big Brother crew that they couldn't kind of reel that in. Cause Amber, yeah, like you said, Amber's really with the rookie girls, and that, you know, that really could have been a lot of votes on their side, let alone being people that they would want to go up against in eliminations and finals.
Yes. I mean, if we had that big conglomeration of rookie girl and Big Brother, who do you think that they would want to target is what I'm wondering.
Yeah. So like who would be the target
after Leroy and Cam and Kyle and all them?
I kind of think that seems like the sense, right? They're really looking, especially when you're paired with someone strong. I think that's what they're looking at. They're looking at, you know, when Corey, right. But you know, I think, you know, you're looking at these pairs. I think that's even more so what they're looking at. Not even just like a individual partner, which could be why Darrell is able to kind of skate by. I feel like if Darrell was with a stronger female, people would be looking at him and his partner in much different light. But the fact that he's with someone who not a lot of people think highly about, it really is able to allow him to kind of slide by.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, you know, what happened in that pairing like ceremony, whether or not he actively went after Amber B or they just kind of ended up stuck together. Because if he actively went after Amber B, that would be super smart of him.
Yeah, it's really worked out for both of them. It really has. And there's one of the more unlikely pairings, but it's been good. It's been really good. All right. So anything else? We got obviously the host of segments here. Anything else on this episode or any thoughts about where we're going? That you have?
Let's see. No, I don't think so. They covered most of it.
All right, let's jump to our segments. So first, we'll start with a drinking game. Shout out to Kyle Picard for shooting it over. So this week we have 9 drinks, 6 of them for all the nickname mentions, all the Millionaire Mitchells, Killer Cams, Killer Kyles. I love a very funny moment when Cam won and they were like, "Oh, we're gonna win," and Kyle "We're gonna win." And Kyle's like, "No, we will win. We will. We're the killers. You're not part of the killers." Kyle's very funny.
Say what you want about Kyle. Well, Kyle's great for the show, I think.
Yeah, considering some of the other UK people that they've tossed on this show, Kyle, he's looking like a ray of sunshine. So good for him.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's 6 mentioned, six nicknames, 1 fancy graphic that popped up, the target lens at the beginning of the episode when Devin was going on who the target might be. 1 person acting out of revenge. Ashley said she'll get revenge on her way out. And 1 time, Nam melting your heart when Lolo hurt his feelings. So very sad. Those are it. So yeah, those are the 9 drinks for this week. Do you have one to add to our game?
Yeah, I wanted to add like a womp womp rule.
Ooh, okay.
Like, so this rule would be for someone that really hypes themselves up either before like a daily challenge or an elimination. Well, like I think we had it with Fessy and Anissa in the daily, and with Nani and Josh. Nani and Josh talking about, you know, this is their thing. This is their where they thrive, or Nani at least saying that, and then kind of just petering out. Same thing with Fessy and Anissa. Fessy talking about, you know, once we get to the puzzle, we got it. We're going to make us some time, and then them still being in last place afterwards. So like whenever they hype themselves up, and then they ultimately fail in what they say they're going to do.
I like it. I'm going to add, anytime we're shown people like, on the phone talking to people back home. We saw it with Leo here on FaceTime with his wife. So anytime there, we get a sense of people on the FaceTime talking to people back home, we'll add that to the game.
All right, cool.
All right, so we got some social. Oh, actually, I wrote down some of the tags for this week because I watched the episode online also this week. I couldn't watch it on DVR. So there were 5 tags. No, there weren't any, like, nothing with that funny. Do you have a guess about, I mean, this is kind of random, but any of the guesses for what MTV might have tagged for this episode?
I'm going to say mini final. I'm going to say capsule.
Capsule would have been good. Final was close because they have running. The tags were running. Teamwork. They have teamwork, betrayal, puzzles, and Reality Alliance were the tags for this episode.
Reality Alliance?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's odd. Yeah, but those other 4 like are very fitting for the episode and for the challenge as a whole, I think.
Yeah, they basically cover any episode. But yeah, very, very fitting for this one at least. So we got some social this week from Megan Elizabeth. Nam wrote, "For the record, I'm not selfish, winky face. Shocking how certain people thought about me." Raising emoji. Okay. Hashtag not selfish for sure.
Right now.
And then Leo put out a statement. It's pretty long. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll just start out from, I'll just read the first couple bits. So he wrote, "April 2020, I was let go of my dream job with WWE during the beginning of the pandemic with no real hope of what was next for me in my career. A few weeks later, I was presented with the opportunity of lifetime by MTV, and that was to compete on television for $1 million. I've always had my dreams of becoming a reality TV star, so that was cool too. I was excited for this unlike anything else. This was hands down the hardest decision I've ever made in my life. This was a fresh start and new beginning for me and my family. Unexpectedly, I noticed that I've never been so vulnerable until this experience in the house. This is what I've been wanting. So afraid to open up, forced to grow up very fast at a young age due to circumstances in my childhood. And during that time, I made mistakes in my life because what kid doesn't. I've experienced so much growth from this experience. I was made to be the villain a few years ago, and it was heartbreaking. I wanted to stand before you today as a hero to anyone out there that suffers from depression, anxiety, PTSD, or any mental illness. I guess I'll just read the whole thing. I'm almost done. A hero to the boys and girls who look like me. I came into the house knowing that I'll be a challenge, that it'll be a challenge for me mentally on top of the challenge itself. To my challenge fans and to all the dope people in the house, thank you for helping me grow. I didn't walk away with $1 million, but I walked away with something far more greater and that I wasn't expecting. I love you all and good luck with the rest of the season. Thank you for all the incredible memories. I promise I'll be back. But for now, it's time for me to get ready for my little one to come to this world and be here for my beautiful wife during our pregnancy. Thank you, MTV. So, nice little send off for Leo. I don't know if we'll see him again, but I honestly wouldn't mind if he, you know, if he felt he was in the right mental headspace to come back. I think he would be interesting to be back, but unfortunately, I just I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Like I said, it you know, he had issues with it for sure, but you got to kind of expect that. I think especially for him, I would think being in wrestling for as long as he's been in wrestling, he's traveled a lot and been away from his family before, but I think now maybe with COVID and he's expecting a child, maybe it hit him more than he thought it would. So I mean, yeah. I can't fault him for that, but you know, I don't think we'll see him again.
Yep, I agree. So for the must lose draft, Allie is once again still in the lead. She had Leo, so she gets 2 points there. She also had Ashley, so a big week for my podcast partner, crushing it. I am, you know, trying out, but actually, for my sake, I'm in second place in this, so we're dominating, Matt. And
hey, there you go.
Oh, no, I was just kidding. I actually messed up my own Brian. I'm in last place. Allie is dominating. Damn. I'm in dominant. Allie's dominating. She has 12 points. Matt has 5. The other Brian has 8. I have 4. But, you know, what can you do? My team's still there, so we'll see how this goes. But like I said, Leo picked up 2 points for leaving for a non-elimination. Ashley, 1 point for leaving for elimination. Josh, amazingly, I didn't realize this, Josh didn't have a confessional. Maybe that's why I like this episode. And another Casey, not surprising, and I lost a point for having Cam winning the elimination. So right now, me and Allie, we stand at 16. The other Brian and Matt, they stand at 13. So we're still in the lead. So go us.
So basically, team Allie is the Fessy and you're the Anissa of this team.
Unfortunately so. So I tried to pull up 5-star reviews. They wasn't loading for me, so I couldn't find it. So we'll get back to those next week. But if you want to leave a review, you can do so at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. That's it for everything we have. Do you have any other thoughts for episode 6, Challenge Double Agents?
No, I think I'm good. Also, hey, if you want to some entertainment, check out that new single by Leo,
yes,
Jay, and Joseph Allen.
Yes.
What is it called? It's called Stone Cold. Listened to it before the podcast, and it's special. I'll just say that.
Thank you for bringing it up. That's why, you know, that's why I need Allie here. She's good at this stuff. But yeah, good job by you. Definitely check it out. Very, you know, it's good for these people when these episodes are airing. They could try to make a couple extra bucks or put out something else to go along with them. So good for them with the hustle. So go check it out. Sure. Where can people check you out? Where can they follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at JR1085. That's JAYR1085. Hit me up. Let me know what you think. And we can talk about Challenge, reality TV, whatever you want to talk about. I'm down.
Perfect. You can follow me at Cohen with a C, Brian _, and subscribe robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We'll be back next week for episode 7. Until then, have a good one.